Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's edition of the We Are Podcast on DK Sports Radio. As always, this is your host, Jared Pruger, and I thank you for joining us this week. Now, Saturday, there was a practice. Some considered it the blue-white game. Some considered it a practice. Some considered it a scrimmage. Whatever you called it, it was in fact football being played at Beaver Stadium. Now we come to find out that it was only practice number 12 of 15 for Penn State this spring. So what that means is there are three more practices left this spring that they can use before ending for the semester and getting on to the summer. So that was news to me after the game when James Franklin said that. But it's great for Penn State as they still have plenty of time left this spring to figure things out. On Saturday, you know, we got to see everything and more from the Penn State offense and defense, and it wasn't a bad day on the field for either team. There were individual drills to start, and then they came out just like it would be, you know, a regular game. Once on the field, they took part in and it was essentially the team period of practice with some 1v1s. First group versus first group, and then they kind of rotated in as well. The offense didn't get off to a hot start, and to be perfectly honest with you, that's not to be unexpected, I guess, because they're still in full install mode. This is purely an installation period for them, so they're just getting that opportunity to kind of put everything together and put everything where they need it to go. It was basic. It was vanilla. You weren't going to see anything too extreme today anyway. But what was great about today is that they did allow certain fans in there. Obviously, select media were there as well, including yours truly. But they let first-year students of Penn State be there as well as their families and friends and families of the program, which is huge. They had 7,521 people, and just take a listen to what James Franklin had to say about that as he talked after the game.
We announced it was 7,500 fans or somewhere in that ballpark. After last season, it felt like 75,000. It really felt good to be in there with our freshman students and our parents. It was really good work for us.
You know, it's important to note that, you know, last year they played in front of a handful of people. It's not the same. Beaver Stadium was not the same. All you saw was aluminum and concrete and sponsorship banners. So that's, you know, to see fans in the stands was great. I'm sure they enjoyed buying $10 worth of food at the concession stand. And to be perfectly honest, it was probably well worth it at this point because it's been so long for people to see live games in person in the flesh. Now, it didn't have the pomp and circumstance of a regular blue-white afternoon, if you want to call it that. The weather was chilly for April, but no surprise there. Would have been great for tailgating either way, but there was no tailgating. So, you know, it is what it is, but it's an excellent opportunity for Penn State to get on the field. And you know, you want to talk about the offense. Kevon Lee and Keziah Holmes split. Devin Ford were the two backs that worked with the first group. And Keziah Holmes worked with the second group as well. Kevon Lee is a North and South guy, very solid. And I would imagine that he's probably going to stay there, or he might be with the second group moving forward once Noah Cain comes back from his injury. Noah Cain didn't practice with Penn State today. He's not up to that level, but he was in uniform, which is a good step moving forward. But Sean Clifford looks okay. He didn't look too... It wasn't the performance you would expect in a practice from a third-year starter. Now, Brent Pry kept the offense on their toes with some of his rushes and some of his formations up front. But it's just one of those deals. You know, you kind of have to adjust. And Clifford did have an interception, which we'll get to in the second segment when we talk about the defense. But, you know, again, Clifford gets out there. This is his fourth offense in 5 years. That is incredible. And not in a good way, but that's just kind of the nature of the beast, right? Dealing with, you know, all the coaching changes and that's hard to get to consistency when that happens. But he looks like he hadn't played in a couple months. You know, there's only so much you can do in practice. Taquan Roberson did okay. He threw another interception, which we'll get to in this second segment. But Christian Villiers got some action as well. It was a good opportunity for guys to get reps. The offensive line looked okay, even though they were overloaded at times, based on some of what Pride did up front. But again, it's a day on the field. It's a day of development, a day of practice, and that's huge. It's exactly what Penn State needed. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, it was just what the doctor ordered for fans at in University Park. Now, like I said, that was only practice 12. So they're going to practice again on Monday and Wednesday, which gives them up to 14 practices. Now, Franklin mentioned this, and the university released a statement last night saying that seniors, Penn State seniors, would be allowed to get into or be at the Friday scrimmage. Well, you know, class happens, so kids aren't going to, you know, skip class for a game on a Friday. So I kind of think this was in the works all along. But Franklin and company are going to have a practice under the lights at Beaver Stadium Friday night. I'm not quite sure how it's going to go with the media, but as of right now, I would imagine it's going to be something similar to today until we hear otherwise. But, you know, he's always a guy that likes to be prepared. So playing under the lights isn't out of the ordinary in the spring. It is out of the ordinary for a game like that, like a scrimmage. If you want to call that the pseudo blue white game, I know I had misspoke multiple times, both on the site and on this podcast, thinking today was, or Saturday was, the blue white game, and obviously I was wrong. It was only practice 12. But it's going to be an opportunity for those guys to play under the lights, and true freshmen to play under the lights for the first time in front of fans, which ultimately is something that they just have not been able to do in quite some time. So that's going to be huge for the program. That's going to be huge for the players. It's going to be huge for the seniors, too, because these seniors have had the last year and a half, or the last year, kind of impacted by what's going on in the world. And, you know, that's obviously not fair to any of us, but to them, because their college experience has vastly changed over the course of that year. And that's crazy. But, you know, this is an opportunity for them to get into the game, and this is an opportunity to see this team play. The Blue Band was there today, the dance team, the Lionettes, the cheerleaders, everybody was there. The pomp and circumstance wasn't quite the same, but it had the same gang of crew. And you know what? It was an excellent opportunity for everybody involved. I know for me personally, it was great getting back into the stadium and getting back into my seat in the press box and seeing action on the field. And when that happens, you know, that's one more step to normalcy. And I think that's huge moving forward as we try to get through this pandemic and get back to regular college football and get fans in the stands again. But coming up in segment two, we'll talk about the defense and some standouts such as Kalen King and what they were able to do in their first game action with the Nittany Lions. So I'll talk to you in a few minutes. Welcome back to segment two of the We Are podcast on DK Sports Radio. This is Jared Prugar once again. And in this segment, I want to talk about a couple of the newcomers. And listen, it was Kalen King's world today at Beaver Stadium, and his first opportunity to don a Penn State uniform in Beaver Stadium. And man, did he play an impressive I'm going to consider it a game. I don't really know how quite to describe it, but you know, his coverage was solid, and he was matched up against Parker Washington. He was matched up at times against Jahan Dotson. So he's playing against guys that have college experience. He is 12 practices into his Penn State career. 12. This is a true freshman. He enrolled in January. So that type of performance is incredible to me. He picked off Sean Clifford on a ball that, you know, Sean Clifford probably in a real game takes and runs. He picked off Tyquan Roberson in traffic, so that's huge. And the Tyquan Roberson pick, he ends up taking to the house. So I mean, it's just that type of performance from him is big moving forward, because it's something. You're creating now more depth at the cornerback position. You've got Keaton Ellis, you've got Tariq Castro Fields, you've got Joey Porter Jr., you've got Now you've got Kalen King, and that's a great That right there is huge. That's an incredible two deep. So that depth is starting to develop on the defensive side of the football. Also, who played a solid game up front was Arnold Ebikidi. So that's huge too. You know, this is a guy that's just got to the program. So it's crazy to think that, you know, after all this time, Penn State finally hits the transfer portal. And granted, it's scrimmage one that we've seen, right? It's the first time we've seen them in a game like atmosphere. But for him to step in and really be solid, he has great takeoff. His feet are solid. His hands are great. He's not as long as the prototypical defensive end, for Brent Pry, but at the same time, you know, he makes it up for it in other ways, and that's okay too. His takeoff was huge, like I said, and he was in the backfield more often than not Saturday afternoon, which is a great sign. Hakeem Beamon got some time along the offensive front line, or defensive front line, I'm sorry, and so too did Nick Tarburton and PJ Mustafer as well. So the defensive line is starting to take shape, which is big. Safeties, you've got Brisker, you've got Jonathan Sutherland, you've got some studs coming back that, you know, have an excellent opportunity to get more playing time and really take a step forward. Because guess what? I mean, when you look at Tariq Hester Fields and you look at Brisker, they didn't come back to sit on the bench and be passed up by guys. They came back to win a title. They came back to have success. And you know what? So far, so good for Penn State. I mean, obviously, there is no such thing as a win in a scrimmage, but you can take a lot away from this game, and I think that's exactly what's needed for Penn State moving forward. But back to King. This is a guy that Franklin has raved about since he started talking to the media in the spring. And when you get that, I think that is absolutely incredible, right? Him and his brother Kobe, twin brothers out of Detroit, are probably two of the most impressive guys so far in this spring practice period because of how prepared they are for their for this opportunity. And you know, you don't really get that out of a true freshman. So that is integral to the development of these guys. And take it from Franklin here as he talks about Kalen King following the game.
He is physically ready. You know, he's a guy that's come in and is already physically developed from a weight standpoint and from a strength standpoint. He's also a very mature, him and his twin brother, both very mature. They know how to prepare. They know how to compete. They know how to work. You know, they go to, you know, one of the most successful high school programs in the United States, Kaz Tech, that I think had them prepared on the level of competition that they play in a really good, you know, league in Detroit. And then on top of that, you know, he's got ball skills. You know, you want to recruit guys that can play both sides of the ball. He's got tremendous confidence, you know, in his talents. And he's got ball skills. And I know this sounds strange. I know this sounds funny, but he's made some great plays on the ball. But some guys like him, the ball just likes them. Like, he's gotten a couple interceptions where you just throw it to him. And, you know, we had a guy, a few years back that was very similar that played for us. And the ball just likes him. You know, they get a number of turnovers by making great plays, and they get a number that, you know, the ball just tips up and lands in their hands or just thrown to them by a misread. He's one of those guys. Part of it is he's always around the ball, and I think he's got a pretty good understanding of what we're asking him to do from a scheme perspective. But you just continue to see what you guys saw today isn't new. We've seen it all spring.
Now, that's, you know, those are pretty strong words coming from a guy that, you know, is a guy that's, you know, this is his first time that we've seen him. So those first impressions are huge, right? So, you know, it's just something to build on. Because, like I said before, this is only practice 12. So he's got a long way to go in the grand scheme of things in his Penn State career. Hopefully a long and healthy one. But it's, you know, when you're getting those kind of reviews, you know, after week one or scrimmage one or however you want to say it, you know, that's pretty huge. And, you know, I think that's an excellent opportunity for him moving forward to build on that and to build that foundation, because at the end of the day, he is still a true freshman. So as much of a thorn in the side as he has been for Penn State quarterbacks, he's going to be a bigger thorn in the side of opposing quarterbacks as the season progresses. And he's going to keep getting better. There's still a lot to learn about the cornerback position, not just in general, but at the collegiate level as well. So, you know, the sky is the limit for Kalen King right now because he's still young. He's still raw. And when that talent gets developed, this could be the next big thing for Penn State. Now, granted, it's practice 12. So, obviously, we don't want to put the cart before the horse or anything. But, you know, every indication is that he's going to have quite a bit of success as a Nittany Lion. Now, if he's going against Taquan Roberson or Clifford every day, maybe that'll help for sure. But, you know, there's going to be a time where he gets out and gets to play different quarterbacks, different players. And when that happens, I think that he's going to have a good deal of success even at this young age and at this young experience level. So I think that's good moving forward for Penn State. I think that's huge as well. I also think that it's important to realize that, you know, this defense is starting to get deep with its depth. You've got some versatile guys in Curtis Jacobs and Brandon Smith and Jesse Lucchetta in the middle. Like I talked about the cornerbacks and even the safeties, you know, the two deep is getting pretty good at all 11 positions defensively. And when you have that type of quality depth, that's huge. You're not going to miss a lot when you're rotating guys in, depending on the series, depending on the situation. And when you have guys that are being used and using their versatility, that's huge as well. So I think the Penn State defense is going to take a step up this season. I think that's going to be key for them. Obviously, last year wasn't the greatest. The offense didn't help them out very much either. But at the same time, it's an excellent opportunity for them to build on that success last season and come out firing on all cylinders. You know, despite losing Jason Owe, despite losing Shaka Tony, despite losing those guys, you know, it's a perfect, and Micah Parsons even, you know, this is a different defense, but it's an athletic and deep defense. And when you have that, I think that gives you a very good base to keep going. And this, at the same time, this is still a very vanilla set. This is still a very vanilla package that they ran today. So, you know, there's still a lot that we haven't seen from this defense, and there's still a lot to be seen from this entire team. But until then, obviously, we won't see that until game day against Wisconsin. But, you know, it's a very good chance to continue to keep growing, and I'm excited to see where King goes and how that defensive line starts to pan out and really the entire defense, because the way that they played today, this could be a very special defense for Penn State moving forward. But let's take one more quick break, and I will catch you on the flip side for segment 3, our final segment, and I'll talk to you soon. Welcome back to the final segment of the We Are Podcast on DK Sports Radio. This is Jared Prugar. So one of the cool things that I think we saw on Saturday is Marquise Wilson. Marquise Wilson, defensive back, last season, started a couple games, but we didn't see him much on defense. We saw him lined up as a receiver. And when we talked in the second segment about the depth that they've created at the defensive back position or in the defensive backfield, Marquise Wilson is a guy that's kind of the odd man out, right? So he is switched to the other side of the ball, and it was funny, Coach Franklin just mentioned that KJ Hamler was in attendance at the game today, and he was pretty upset that he wasn't allowed to go both ways like Marquise Wilson has been. But it'll be interesting to see how they use him and develop him as a receiver, because not only are they deep on the defensive side of the football, but they're also pretty deep offensively too, because you return Dotson, Kevon Lee, Keandre Lambert Smith, you've got Cam Sullivan Brown in the mix, Daniel George. So it'll be interesting to see where Wilson finds himself in that mix. But more importantly, I think the the opportunity that spring ball has allowed this team to get reps, to get practice, has been huge. And that is the most important thing moving forward. Obviously, with three practices left in the spring, there's still a lot that can happen. But that installation and just learning the offense is huge. And much like I said in the first segment, this is the fourth offense in 5 years for Sean Clifford. That's not ideal. You can't have that turnover offensively because you're learning something new every year. And while it's learning something new is great, it's the more you learn an offense and the more that offense, you know, you can develop it, the better off you are. The more you can get players to not think as they're playing and more react and more be athletic and really work on their strengths and their abilities. And, you know, it's not fair to most of the lineup when you're changing the offense nearly every year. So that's huge too. But at the same time, you know, it's great to have football back. I know that it's going to be gone before we know it, but you know, this is the first sign of normalcy that we've seen with fans in the stands in quite some time. So that's huge as well. And it'll be interesting to see how they handle the three practices, including the whatever Penn State has planned for the final practice next Friday. Because let's be real, you know, I think they found out an opportunity here that maybe if you do have more than one practice, you can make some money and you can make something of it if you have more than one day in Beaver Stadium, if you're not allowed to have everybody that you want there. So, you know, that's something that Penn State can focus on moving forward too. It also gave them a test run to see how things can get better. Now, we were only allowed on the third floor of the press box today, so I wasn't able to see the stands and see, you know, how everything was laid out on the concourses or the concession stands or things like that. So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of can improve that and build on that should there still be limitations in the fall. So, you know, it's a test run for everybody, not only just Penn State, the football team and the football program, but also Beaver Stadium from an operations standpoint. And I think that's what they're going to get out of both this practice and next Friday's practice as far as, you know, putting things together, getting things where they need to be. And I think that's great. So, you know, you when you have that, that's an excellent opportunity to grow in every facet of the operation. So, you know, there's a lot still to be done for Penn State, but the Nittany Lions are well on their way to overcoming the horrible season that was 2020 and getting back to the winning brand of Penn State football that people have come to expect under James Franklin and in recent years. So that's going to be huge for Franklin and the guys moving forward. And it'll be interesting to see how they set up this practice and see who's got the opportunity to kind of get better and get more reps as the season goes on. Because we know, or as the spring continues this week. So it's going to be, you know, one of those deals moving forward as well. Because Kristen Viu and Taquan Roberson are going to need those reps. Sean Clifford doesn't really need all the reps. He just needs to keep learning the offense. Now, don't get me wrong. He does need reps, so to speak. But at the same time, he doesn't need that type of reps and playing reps that Roberson or Viu need to get better. But it'll be interesting to see how Franklin deploys everybody on Friday. And we'll have more from that and from what we can learn from that on next week's podcast. But until then, I hope you all have a safe, healthy week. And thanks again for tuning in to the We Are podcast and DK Sports Radio. For Jared Prugar, I thank you, as always, for tuning in, and we'll talk soon.